Let us pray. Lord, I just yield myself unto you and ask you to speak to us through me, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. People of God, this happens to be my first time of standing on this pulpit to preach. Even though I have conducted my first service and had led prayers, before I proceed, I would like to give words of thanksgiving. Firstly, to God Almighty for the privilege of being part of this community after many months of hard work, mainly from the diocese, Tim Jones, who is the DDO of this diocese, my incumbent Peter, and my former church in Rome. I sincerely thank and appreciate their contributions. And I must as well thank all of you for your prayers, which sustain me over those periods. And since I came, I must confess that I have been overpampered by Reverend Peter and family, and many of you. I so much appreciate the love that I have been receiving from you all. You have already given me much over a very short time of being with you. May God richly bless you all. Today I'm going to speak briefly on worship. The question people often ask us is, where do you worship? Meaning, where do you go to church? Other Christians meeting do say it was a great time. Others, after Christian meetings, do say it was a great time of worship today. Which to some, it means the singing, like we've just done. Praying, like we've had Peter lead us in prayers. And Bible reading, like the Ives has read for us. As well, the privilege of being present in sacred place. But worship is about what I have been experiencing from this community since I came. The love, affection, and care. So worship is about the life and how we live it. In our first reading, Paul writes to the Christians in Rome. He appealed to them to establish a good relationship with God. Secondly, to live out their faith. That is to say that worship should be an inward experience with outward expression. We are called as Christians to live a good Christian life, being transformed to the nature of God. In Gospel of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman contrasts the understanding of worship that God expects from us, as we have in Paul's letter to the Romans. In this text, the discussion on worship was closely linked to a sacred place, the Mount of Gerizim to the Samaritans, and in Jerusalem to the Jews. People were after ancestral association rather than honest worship and heart dedicated to God. For that reason, in verse 21, Jesus called for a new hour, which was very close, and he immediately told the woman that the hour was right there and then. Then he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. But the hour is coming, and it's now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as this to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. From this text, three things are noted without which we will not be able to worship God truly. One, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Two, the Holy Spirit. And lastly, knowing the truth. The reason is because Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the imprint of God's very being. We can see that in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. So without Jesus, true worship is impossible. And truly speaking, we cannot come to know God without the help of the Holy Spirit. It is difficult for one to study, reflect, and meditate on the Word of God daily without the help of the Holy Spirit. And of course, how do we live out the Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit? God is spirit, and those who worship him must as well worship him in spirit. Therefore, a spiritual worship is moral, a demonstration of the reflection of God, rather than a ceremonial worship of the leaves, which depicts the old form of Israel's external temple worship. True Christian worship should encompass the whole of our day-to-day Christian life. It involves our body and mind, giving our entire lives to holy living and a life eager to please God in everything. However, for one to attend this, the mind needs to be renewed and set apart for God. That was the reason Jesus pointed to the woman of Samaria in verse 22 of that John Gospel. That the Samaritans worship what they do not know. They only know the mountain where their forefathers worshipped. Well, in this era, many worshippers worship without knowing who they are worshipping, like the Samaritans and the Jews, because they are carried away by traditions of the old rather than living out the gospel which the faith in Christ demands. Such people need a special encounter with Jesus, just as the Samaritan woman had. This encounter draws us closer to the truth, which is Christ. When we are really close to him, it is then that the Word of God will begin to renew our minds as we continue to study, reflect, and meditate on it. Without that, this will certainly bring us to the worship that will eventually reflect in our daily living. But we should as well take serious our congregational assembly, that is, in other words, public corporate worship. Which is the focal point as stated in the book of, I think that's the Christian focal point as stated in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. It says, not giving up together as some are in the habit of doing. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. More to that, our individual lives should be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, as we should strive to be more and more true worshippers as opposed to the participation only in ceremonial worship. For God seeks worshippers who are in accord with his nature. Remember, God is spirit. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the revelation of your Father. Holy Spirit, you are our enabler. We just ask you this morning to bring us to that point where we need to have an encounter with you that will transform our attitudes towards worship. And as we do that, may you continue to reveal yourself unto us so that in our daily living, our lives will reflect your glory. Amen.